At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, the start of another week. The latest Manchester United transfer news, lots to get into on the new show on the United Stand every morning at 10 a.m. Is Mazraoui leaving Manchester United? Romano announcing that he has changed his player agency. That normally means they want a new contract or they want a move. And Carrick doesn't pick him. So could Mazraoui be heading out the door? Is that a mistake? Also, a big transfer hint in relation to Alex Scott. We'll be discussing that as well. What's happening around the midfield situation? A little bit more coming out about from Tchouaméni from Spain overnight. We'll discuss that, of course. A few other bits around strikers and defenders and who's returning to Manchester United this week, I think is important. We are in pre-season now. The World Cup has been over for a week. Who is coming back this week? We'll discuss that and how that can impact Carrick's plans. I also want to talk about, obviously it's kicking off a little bit between Fabrizio Romano and Florian Plettenberg about basically Pletty goal is saying that Romano jumps the gun on deals that aren't done so that he gets the here we go ahead of Ornstein and everybody else and that it's not actually done. It will be done, but it's not done yet. So it's all kicking off a little bit there. But I think of more interest to me is just, you know, what are we being fed the truth or are we being fed nonsense in relation to what is actually going on? But specifically to Real Madrid, I can't even list the players that Jose Mourinho has bought. And the reason I mention this about Man United is, remember, Jose Mourinho has gone to Real Madrid as a new coach. And, you know, when Mourinho came to Man United as a new coach, or Ten Hag came as a new coach, or Amorim came as a new coach, there was a level of expenditure to support a new coach that we were all excited about. I was excited about Ten Hag. I was excited about Mazraoui, Mourinho. I was excited about Mazraoui. I was excited about Ollie. I was excited. But, you know, Carrick is a new coach. And you don't have to work very hard to compare the fact that Mourinho's gone to Real Madrid and they've got him, and I don't know the full list. Dumfries, Silva, they're going to get Diamande. He's had a few signings already, hasn't he? And he'll get a few more. Michael Carrick's a new coach. I think this is pitiful, pathetic. I think this is a pathetic backing of a manager. And also, let's not forget, whether I wanted Carrick or not, he got his Champions League football from a position where I didn't think it was very likely. So his reward for getting the Champions League football for Man United and getting Wilcox out of jail was this transfer window, which I think has been pathetic. I think we lose sight of the fact that he is a new coach and he's a new manager. And I think this is a pathetic window. I really do. I think it is. But you know what? I want to talk about this Mazraoui stuff. I want to talk about the midfield. I want to talk about Scott. But just very, very quickly, sometimes I like to start a show with a bit of a debate point. I saw this post today and I'll just throw it out. We can come back to it later. The Manchester Mouse, they're called on X. And I like throwing out stuff, I don't care who it's from, if it's a debate point. Basically mocking those of us. I mean, they didn't dare direct me, but I did say this. So worst window in Man United history. I didn't say that. I said it's the worst transfer window in 13 years, in my opinion. And we predominantly had crap windows. So it's really crap. Worst window in Man United history, in inverted commas. Our boring ass fan base is crying already. Arsenal have signed only two players. Liverpool have signed two players and Man City have signed three players. Chill the fuck out. No club's been overly active. Let's get to the end of the window before we cry about it. These people are part of the problem, in my opinion, because they can't engage their brain. Arsenal have just won the league. There's context to comparing us to Liverpool, Arsenal and Man City and the business they've done. Arsenal could sign one player and they're still league champions with an amazing squad. If Arsenal buy one player, we can't go, oh, wow, they've only bought one player, so let's not worry. That's like somebody having a mansion and just paying for the gardener to cut the grass. Well, if we just cut the grass on our, you know, shit heap, it's not the same, is it? Like, there is... Liverpool won the league the year before. They've got a better foundation than Man United. And Man City bought two players in January for over £100 million and have won multiple league titles. We can't seriously have fans out there that are going, our fan base needs to calm down. Liverpool haven't spent much yet. Arsenal haven't spent much yet. Man City haven't spent much yet. I mean, there is a starting block, essentially. Like, somebody who is half a mile ahead of you in the race and stops for a bottle of water, and you have a bottle of water, you're still half a mile behind. So I don't care whether Arsenal have done less or more than us, or Man City have done less or more than us, or Liverpool have done less or more than us. That's not a justification for a pathetic transfer window from Man United, because the context is those clubs are run better, have better foundations, and actually have pathways to Premier League titles in the last 3 years. So I find that, and you know, I'm not shouting out Manchester Mouse in a bad way. I'm just saying that is actually an explanation that I can see people in the chat sort of going, I've seen it. I've seen it multiple times. There are United fans out there going, why are people moaning about our transfer window? Other clubs haven't done that much. And completely ignoring context of those clubs have better structures, foundations already. And also, why would we go, well, no one else has done much, so why should we? Maybe because we're miles behind, we should be doing more, you know? And then I've also seen people saying, well, PSG dropping out of the Diamande deal, lack of ambition. So they're trying to say, they're trying to compare us to PSG. So because PSG don't want to overpay for Diamande, we're now PSG. I mean, that's even worse. People are out there trying to compare us to PSG because PSG won't overpay for Diamande and we won't overpay for Diamande, Tonali, Mateus. They've just won the bloody Champions League twice. They've got the best squad in the world. Them refusing to pay silly money for Diamande is a little bit different for us refusing to pay money for players when we can't even qualify for the Champions League on the regular. But again, you get people defending it going, well, no one's moaning about PSG pulling out of deals because they don't want to overpay. But that's because they're the best team in the world. They've won the Champions League 2 years in a bloody row. You can't compare Man United to bloody PSG. You can't. It's mad. I had to get it off the chest. Anyway, let's get into some news. So, look, I'm going to start off with Alex Scott, because I'm sure this is the one that people are most interested in. There was a story about, I think I was still on holiday. What's the latest with Alex Scott and Man United? I think a lot of people are looking at that, because it came out this morning from Italy that the situation with Kone, remember we were talking last night about a potential deadline. And somebody said it could be end of this week. I think it might be a little bit later than that, because basically Corriere dello Sport, which is an Italian news outlet that you might remember from 30 years ago on Gazzetta Football on Channel 4. We all who used to watch that, if you're old enough, remember all the outlets from Italy and the Saturday morning review show. And they basically say the lack of urgency from Manchester United is frustrating Roma, especially since they need to raise funds. Kone is likely to return to training on August the 10th, and that gives Man United time to secure his services. Roma would like to complete a transfer by July the 31st to meet the parameters of the settlement agreement, the deadline for which has been extended by UEFA until the end of the month. So that, to be fair, shout out to the person last night who mentioned it. It appears there is some sort of deadline around Roma, which I'm not fully up to speed with, around some sort of settlement agreement that they've got in place with UEFA, where they would like to raise funds by the end of this month. Certainly by the time that Kone returns to training on August the 10th. I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go for Manchester United and Kone. We did hold talks. We've not held talks with Roma. Whether we could do a deal with them, and whether we're waiting on purpose to get close to the 31st of July so that Roma get a little bit desperate. I mean, to be honest, that would be quite a clever move from United. And I'm not wearing Roma colours to... Something the chat just said, is that why you're wearing Roma colours? Because you're hinting at Kone. I wish I was that clever on a Monday morning. No, literally, I just needed to change my top from last night, which I'd gone down to the shops in, and I just grabbed something out there. But no, I think that, look, possibly a decent football club that's well run and good at transfers would be waiting until the closeness of the 31st of July to try and shave a little bit off as Roma get more and more close to that deadline. Absolutely. I don't know that that's what Man United are doing, but I can, you know, we could all live in hope. But it does appear that Roma are getting itchy feet in relation to trying to get this deal done. However, what I would say about Kone, and I've said to this for a couple of weeks now, is that there are other clubs interested. And if any of those clubs are good at transfers, they might be doing the same as well, waiting till this July the 1st deadline that Roma have got in relation to some sort of settlement agreement with UEFA. And they might lowball as well. So I think we would just have to wait and see what happens with Kone. I mean, look, ultimately, I don't know whether we've got the hotter meter, but it should be making appearances on a morning show. But I would still say, in my opinion, if someone said who's the most likely midfielder that Man United will sign, I would say it's Kone, because problematically for Manchester United, if they don't sign Kone and he goes somewhere else, everybody, and I've not mentioned this before, but I'm sure we've all thought it. Remember, Man United have spoken to Kone. Like, we've held talks with Kone. Like, every decent journalist has mentioned it after we said it. We have held talks with Kone. Now, if we don't sign him and he goes somewhere else and he's really good, well, we let him slip through our fingers. So I would still say that Kone would be at the top there as a 7 out of 10. But Labour shouldn't be there. That was Matt, our former producer. He's been gone now for 2 weeks since he created that. I sacked him before I went on holiday. So ignore the belabor bit, because that was just Matt trying to be funny and it backfired. Rest in peace, Matt's career at United Stand. I've heard he's begging it outside TalkSport Towers now, but he's got no chance because I've sent them WhatsApps of him. He used to call them talk shit as well. So ignore the belabor thing. That shouldn't be there. And Mitra, I'd remove him. Somerville's obviously gone now. Scott at a 3, Camavinga at a 3, Lewis Hall at a 2. So, I mean, that hotter meat is out of date. I need to get one of the new producers trained up. But I would still say that Kone is the highest one. Due to the talks at the moment. Now, interestingly, in relation to Alex Scott, I was speaking to somebody, well, I wasn't speaking to them, I was WhatsApping them last night, and in prep, you know, I do a lot of work in prep for the morning show, and I said, what's the latest with Alex Scott? Are we to believe anything from, I haven't really sacked Matt. Oh my God, mate, I'm actually very, can I just stop for a minute? I'm actually very disappointed. This is the United Stand. We've been doing it for 10 years. There's people in the chat. Now, I must say that you might be new, in which case subscribe and get involved, but that's me. I do that. I'm being sarcastic. I'm very good at it. I haven't sacked Matt. It was a joke. It's just sometimes that's how I tell jokes, like they're, you know, it's not real. No, Matt's not been sacked. Steve says, I don't get your sense of humour. It's very UK-centric. I don't think sarcasm does travel. So, yeah, I'm happy to clarify if people are panicking about Matt. But Matt's about. He won't be about now because he's lazy. He goes to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, so he doesn't get up until about midday. He's one of those. And I say lazy. I might be getting a HR complaint for that. No, I don't think it's lazy. I just think, you know, it's a different approach, isn't it? But he goes to bed when... No, we'll leave that. Right, let's go. Look, I think in relation to Scott, I was talking to somebody last night and I said to them, look, what about this Chelsea thing? And they basically said to me, that Chelsea thing is true. Like, Chelsea do want Alex Scott. And the fact that it came out that Scott wants to go to Chelsea will be because Chelsea have made it clear that they want to go for Scott. So watch that development, because that will be Chelsea basically saying that they want to sign Alex Scott. And they'll probably end up getting him. So yeah, it's probably not the news you want this morning about Alex Scott, but by the sounds of it, Chelsea are the most likely outcome for him. And what I was told is the fact that Alex Scott is being linked to wanting to go to Chelsea is probably the beginnings of a transfer to Chelsea, whether it's this summer or January or next summer. And the reason for that will be not because he doesn't want to sign for Manchester United, but very similarly to Matheus Fernandes, if Man United had put the wages down and the fee down that Spurs did, he would have come in to Manchester United. He would have come to Manchester United, Matheus Fernandes, if we'd offered up the same transfer fee and the same wages. But what people don't understand about Matheus Fernandes is, why would he come out and say, I want to sign for Manchester United, when Man United haven't put an offer in? And the same with Alex Scott. Why would he come out and say, I want to play for Man United, when Man United have basically said they're not going to bid for him at that price? So you can only project your desire on somebody that actually wants you. You know, if you're out in a nightclub and there's someone relatively attractive on the dance floor, and then there's somebody you fancy more, but they're dancing with somebody with a ring on their finger, you'd have to be a bit of a prat to interject and say, I want to go out with you. One, you put yourself in the theatre of doom, because you might get knocked out by one of them. But two, they're already committed. So, and they're not showing any interest in you. So you're better off going for the one that's, you know, available. And that's what players do. Player A may want to play for Liverpool or Man City, but if they're not interested and Chelsea are, Chelsea's more attractive than where they are, isn't it? And that's football. You can't always get the move that you want. So, yeah, I would keep an eye on Alex Scott and Chelsea. United just not in the race. And I think that it's, you know, that's an important update at the start of a week where we're hoping to get some developments around the midfield. United have been very, very clear that they won't overpay what they perceive to be overpay. So, yeah, I mean, look, that could be another signing where we look at another player. I mean, just add it to the list. Matheus Fernandes, Tonali, Enzo Fernandes, I suppose, Bruno Guimaraes, Elliot Anderson. How many more? You know, just loads and loads of midfielders that we'd like to have signed, but we've priced ourselves out of. So there we go. Matt, the United Stand producer, says, you can't sack me, I'm actually the boss. Matt does do a lot. Justice for Matt, says Robert. The 1234567 says, that's why I like your funny, I get your humour. Patrick Lynch says, lack of movement from rivals is not a justification for lack of transfers for us. It's actually an indictment because we aren't taking the opportunity to make up the ground. Yeah, I mean, look, as I say, you know, every fan base has its morons. And I think those people that try and justify a pathetic transfer window from Man United by comparing it to Liverpool's and their lack of activity is ridiculous. Don't measure yourself by others anyway, especially in football. But Liverpool are a better run club than us. Liverpool aren't knocking down Old Trafford. Liverpool have won a league in the last 2 years. Liverpool have got better foundations. Liverpool have probably got a better manager. Liverpool have probably got better owners. Why would you compare yourself to somebody that's miles better? And also, as Patrick says, if Arsenal are doing this much and you're this far behind, then you need to do this much. You can't do the same as somebody that's miles ahead of you. That's ridiculous. You know, if somebody's half a mile ahead of you and they only run half a mile, and then you go, well, we're only going to run half a mile, they're still half a mile ahead. You've got to run a mile to catch up. And then if you want to win, you've got to run a mile and a half. You've actually got to go a lot harder than them to catch them up. You can't compare yourself to somebody who's already ahead of you. It's ridiculous. I agree. Why do United have to follow your timeline? It's the height of arrogance and entitlement. Be patient, says Lofty. Lofty. I think it's drafty in your head, mate, because you obviously don't have many brains. So what you're saying is Manchester United don't need to follow our timeline. It's the height of arrogance and entitlement. Well, it's not really, is it, you Glazer bot? It's experience of following football all your life and accumulating masses of information on transfers and how quickly clubs do them in preparation for a season. It's also the fact that all of our major targets have gone to other clubs. So I would say it's not the height of arrogance and entitlement. It's the height of realism and intelligence, whilst you're at the height of naivety and inexperience, because there may be 5 weeks left in the window, but history tells you that Man United take 5 weeks to do a decent deal. So that would panic me. Also, the club have been briefing for weeks that they don't want to pay high wages or high transfer fees. And also for weeks, all our major targets have been signing for other clubs. So I don't think you can just sit there and say there's still 5 weeks left in the window, everything's going to be okay. That's like sitting in a shed with a tornado coming an hour away and saying everything's going to be okay. Not going to be okay, is it? It's not going to be okay. Forza says, I have bell notification on, but YouTube is weird. It is. That's why we try to do our shows at the same time every day so people know we're live. Do you think funds for the transfer budgets are being siphoned off to fund the stadium? Glynios have been very good at keeping the topic separate, but I suspect the two are linked. Well, I think in relation to the stadium, Azor, and I know this, you know, people want to talk about Mazraoui next, which we will do, and some other bits. In relation to the stadium, I don't want to see Old Trafford getting knocked down. I was talking to a Liverpool fan this morning and they were, you know, we were sort of comparing notes and at the local supermarket. And I said, look, obviously Liverpool and Man United, we don't like each other, but you would never knock Anfield down and the Glazers wouldn't be in charge of your football club. You'd remove them. And as much as I don't like Liverpool, I do respect that their fan base get things done. And the Glazers would have been gone years ago and Anfield would be never getting knocked down.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We failed as a fan base. So I think the next thing we have to wait and see is how we're going to fund this stadium, because that's one thing they still haven't told anybody what they're going to do. Apparently, it's not going to be government funded. So does that mean we're going to take a loan out? I don't know. When does the entire squad return? Will we have players not available for the press Premier League games? No. Premier League season, Peter, starts in 3.5 weeks. No, 3 weeks on Saturday. Friday. Yeah, Saturday for us. 3 weeks on Saturday, the season starts. Ahmad's back this week. And then from next week, I would imagine we'll start to get a trickle of other players like Cunha. And then the following week, it should be the Brunos and the Maynus and the Rashfords and the Martinez. Because remember, Maynu, Rashford and Martinez technically all played all the way through to the World Cup final weekend, didn't they? But Ahmad's back this week. Whether he'd be playing on Saturday, I wouldn't expect that, to be fair. Jack Berry says, it's concerning how this next season is wide open for anyone to contend with so many changes in managers, yet the board failed to see the opportunity. And I just want to say thank you, says Oliver. United Stan's been helping me through a tough time. Thank you, Oliver, and thanks for being part of this amazing community. Emily Derry says, this transfer window is like looking through the Harrods website, then finding the cheaper equivalents in Argos. It will do a job, a good job even, but it isn't the best. And Skin for the Win says, we just can't forget why we wanted Blaber in the first place. He's exactly what we need. No, that's a load of crap, mate. That's like looking at Carrie Fisher in Star Wars or Return of the Jedi and saying, I want to marry her. She's, you know, she has an amazing personality. And then now, well, she's dead. You're not going to marry her now, are you? You can't just go back and say a year ago we wanted Baleba, so now we should buy him now. Like, things change. They do. Yeah, that's a prime example. Things change. Just because you liked something a year ago doesn't mean you go and do it for this. You know, you use the evidence of the gap in time. And a year ago, Baleba was an interesting prospect. A year later, he's had a shit season. He's still massively overpriced. And he's been benched by the likes of James Milner and nobody wants him. So I wouldn't go anywhere near him. You can't go, well, a year ago, he was a good signing. You know, if I make you a lovely lasagna and you don't eat it when it's fresh out the oven and then you wait a week and I've left it outside and it's been nibbled at by rats and birds and it's cold, it's not the same lasagna, is it? because it's been left out for a week. So no, you've got to put context against it. My mate Andy has recently moved from Manchester to London. Can you send him some support? Says Cosmo. Thoughts are with you, Andy. I hope he's not a drinker, because the price of the pint's going to knock your block off, mate. Sunrise's Army says, I'm definitely not justifying the window, but learning to ignore the rumours and keep my expectations low and wait for the season. City and Poole are definitely weaker than previous seasons, gives me some optimism. Mate, respect. It's a super chat, of course. Respect, but how would you... So basically what you're doing is you're lowering your expectations to deal with a crap transfer window. And then you're also thinking Man City are not as strong as they were. I mean, they've got the best striker in the world. They've spent £100 million in January on one of the best centre-backs in the league and one of the best wingers in the league. They've then spent £100 million on one of the best midfielders in the league. They're still going to do more business. And they have replaced Pep Guardiola. I mean, I don't think I'm looking at Man City and going, there's an opportunity, when we scraped third place with one game a week playing Oli ball, have let Casemiro go and replaced him with Santos and Tillemans. I don't look at United and go, we're going to jump into that opportunity. I do agree there's an opportunity. Liverpool look a little bit vulnerable. Chelsea and Spurs were very bad last season. Arsenal might be tired. Man City don't have Pep. I do think there is opportunities, but do I think we're primed to jump into those opportunities? Absolutely not. I'm from Australia. I'm stressing for Belabor. Is it true? No, it's not. Absolute legend. And there we go. Thank you. Okay, let me talk to you about Mazraoui, because I just realised I've taken a little bit of time coming to the Mazraoui story. So, look, for me, I feel I need to run a live chat here. Let's say 20 million for Mazraoui, because I can't see us getting any more than that. Would you sell Mazraoui for 20 mil? That's probably his market value, isn't it? Considering what we paid for him, his age, and how many years he's got left on his contract. So this morning, Mazraoui has signed with Pantera as his new agency. Now, I don't know anything about this agency, but that's come out this morning overnight that he has signed with a new agency. That doesn't normally mean nothing. Normally, when a player signs for a new agency, it's because they're angling for something. Now, it could be a new contract, it could be new brand deals, it could be a transfer. But it isn't normal behaviour for somebody that's like, I'm absolutely happy where I am. I don't want a new contract. I don't want a transfer. I've just changed my agency. And also, the big hint here is that if I'm a football agent and I acquire Mazraoui, why have I done it? You know, getting Mazraoui will be, for me to sign a player as an agent, I've got to make promises about future earnings. So if I get Vinicius Jr. to sign for my agency, and then we just go, we're not going to do anything though, because you've already got your contracts, we're not going to leave Real Madrid. I mean, it's just pure stupidity. I earn on commission. So I earn by making money, and I make money by transferring you or getting you a new contract. So when a player signs to a new agency, there is a reason for that. And normally, 9 times out of 10, it's for a new contract or a transfer. So is this a little bit, Robert McCormack says he might have asked to leave. Well, look, if he has asked to leave, whose fault's that? You know, you look at Mazraoui when he's played for Man United or played for Morocco. I mean, he's literally one of Morocco's best players. And we've got Dalot, who can't start for Portugal, and well, we watch him every week anyway, and Luke Shaw is past it. I honestly think if Mazraoui is asked to leave Man United, they will be running around dancing, because they'll be able to pin it on him and pocket some money. But I think you can take this. If this happens, I can pinpoint this exact moment where this happened. He played at centre-back with Heaven away to Chelsea and was superb. And then he got dropped the next game. And every time he had a good game, he came on at left back against Crystal Palace. Luke Shaw was getting absolutely rinsed by Sarr. Can you remember the game? Luke Shaw, Palace at Old Trafford. It was the game where, was it Lacroix who got sent off? They were all over us. They were battering us. Sarr had Luke Shaw, you know, like Bambi on ice. He was twisting him all over the place. Luke Shaw went down. And we all thought, oh, there's the injury. He was back the next game. Why did Luke Shaw go down after 20 minutes against Crystal Palace? And then he was back for the very next game. I think they said he was ill. Yeah, he was dizzy because he was getting spun. Mazraoui came on and changed the game. The minute Mazraoui came on, we literally changed the game and we went on to win it. So I don't know. Maybe Mazraoui's looked at it and gone, I was brilliant against Chelsea and I got dropped. I was brilliant against Palace and ended up out of the team again. Maybe he's just fed up and gone, at the age I am, I ain't having another season under a manager that doesn't rate me, sitting on the bench for people like Luke Shaw and Delo. So Robert McCormack might be right. You know, maybe the change of agency is because he wants to leave. And if he wants to leave, I mean, I blame Carrick. I blame the club. I think we've absolutely mismanaged. When we bought Mazraoui in the first 6 months, I remember saying, we need more Mazraouis. We need more Mazraouis. He consistently gives you a 7 out of 10. And over the last few years, how many times have we sat there on the player ratings and given people a 7? They're normally man of the match. And 7, you know, 6 is average, 5 is below average, 7 is good. You know, we actually want regular 8 and 9s, but we don't get that many average performances in a United shirt. So someone like Mazraoui, if you've got 4 or 5 of them playing every week, giving you 7 out of 10, you are going to get deep in the Champions League. You are going to get closer to a title race. So I think Mazraoui leaving, I think that those are the sort, Mr. Consistent, I think those are the sort of players that you build a team around. I mean, Delo is not Mr. Consistent. Luke Shaw is not Mr. Consistent. Having a player like Mazraoui, I think cashing in on players like that is a mistake. But I think Robert might have nailed it. I think this might be Mazraoui saying, look, I'm getting a new agency. I want to go and play. Because there'll be plenty of clubs saying, we'll have him. And I think United has. I think last season we underappreciated him. And I'll guarantee you, he's probably had the chat with United and said, I want to start or I'm leaving. And I don't think we can guarantee he's going to start. I think Carrick will say, Delo's my starting right back and Luke Shaw's my left back. So he's probably asked to leave. And that's why he's getting a new agency. And I think, you know, when you look at players that we need to sell, that is not, you know, he's not even in my top 10 to sell. I don't know about you, but he would not be in my top 10 players to sell. I think it's a mistake. But you can understand why he's asking to leave. If he's asking to leave, you could understand why he would ask to leave, is what I meant to say. So we'll have to monitor that one. But as I said, 9 times out of 10, if you change your agency, it's because you're looking to leave or, you know, you're looking for a move. So, yeah, let's see what happens with that one. Marlo says, Carrick, the board and the bots have a couple of more weeks to spin, but the hen will come home to roost when we struggle against Hull, says Marlo. 81% of you wouldn't let Mazraoui go. Of course, the attractive thing for Manchester United will be, by letting him go, you actually bring some money in. And, you know, this happened with what's his name? James Garner. I'm not crying. I've got a blocked tear duct. Not tear duct. Gland. Glands in your eyes, whatever they're called. I had it a couple of years ago. I need to get it checked out. I am crying about Mazraoui. No, I'm not really. I think this happened with James Garner. We never should have sold James Garner, but we did it because it was the only money we could bring in. So I can see Mazraoui being the sort of player that we do it with. Let me just double check his contract. He's 28. He'll be 29 in November. And his contract runs out in 2 years. Now, somebody said it's an inflated market. Can't we get 40? I think Chelsea could. I think Chelsea could, but I don't think Man United would. He's already listed under that agency already. Their biggest client is Alanga Pantara Agency. They don't have a hell of a lot of decent clients, actually. I'm just having a look. No, Anthony Alanga's their best client. So, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with it. If we ever get to the level we were, we need a Keane. No nonsense midfielder who can play ball. That's why he's critical. No grit. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in this morning. Please do share the video. We're at nearly 11,000 already. Thank you very much for that. I believe we may not bring in anybody else as Man United Greek fan. And Oliver says, is Tielemans the Casemiro replacement? Well, this is interesting because there's actually a bit coming out of Spain this morning about Tchouaméni. Well, look, you know what? I'll always be on the front foot to call out the many mistakes that our board have made and are still making. However, I will not lie about positivity. We will sign another midfielder. Obviously, as I said, I'm not afraid to like say what I think about how badly the club is run, unlike many other content creators who are cowards. But the point I'm making is that it would be very easy to sit here and say Man United won't sign another midfielder. Let's stir up a load of, you know, frustration in the fan base. But I actually am convinced that we will. I don't think Mason Mount's going to be the third midfielder. Mason Mount's going to be injured. I mean, imagine if there was a board member who said, we don't need to buy a midfielder, we've got Mason Mount. You'd literally just need to get your laptop out and say, the guy has missed 60% of our games in the last 3 years and you want to stick him in centre midfield. Are you going to resign or do you want me to sack you? So we're not going to use Mason Mount. What we will do is sign a third midfielder. What I don't know is who that third midfielder will be, but we will sign a third midfielder. Is Tielemans the replacement for Casemiro?
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Never say never, but if you know Tielemans and you know Mainoo, I actually think they're very similar, which makes me laugh about Adam Wharton, because we wouldn't go for Adam Wharton because he's too similar to Mainoo, and then we'll sign Tielemans, who's similar to Mainoo. Tielemans is not very quick and not very good defensively, but he's very good in possession. And he's very good at seeing the forward pass. And he's very good at, you know, he's like Mainoo. So I don't think Tielemans and Mainoo as a midfield two would be very good for your defence. I really don't. I think you'd have to be a very, very attacking team with a high line playing 70 to 80% possession, which would be very different to last season. So I'd never say never that Tielemans and Mainoo can't play together, because they could, but there'd be a glaring weakness in the midfield. There'd be a lack of height. There'd be a lack of physicality and there'd be a lack of speed. So I don't think Tielemans is the replacement for Casemiro. Santos is more of a replacement for Casemiro than Tielemans, in my opinion. But the next signing we make has to be more, you know, Kone, Alex Scott, you know, that type of midfielder. All the journalists are beefing with each other. It's become a battlefield, says Jamie. Yeah, I mean, look, just on that very, very quickly, I mentioned this at the start. We've seen some Man United journalists doing it. What I find funny this window is that journalists who've never really been about transfers, trying to be about transfers, and it's probably the worst summer to be a Man United journalist trying to find out about transfers, because United aren't really putting anything out there like they traditionally would. So you've got to go and get it from other places, which is why we've obviously got the drop on the Tillemans deal 24 hours early. We knew about the Kone talks before everybody else. So, yeah, and we knew about the Tchouaméni story before everybody else as well. But it has become a little bit of a battlefield. But in many ways, I think it's made it... I think if the window had been better, it would have been a brilliant transfer window in relation to that, in relation to how, you know, people aren't getting information. But look, as I said, I think there was a story coming in last night around Tchouaméni. It was from Spain, basically saying that Man United making a serious move for Tchouaméni is not ruled out. Some people are talking about it this morning, getting excited about it. Look, at the end of the day, the way things are at the moment, we've got more chance of wage structure being our third signing than Tchouaméni. In fact, our big signing this summer probably is wage structure. And of course, I'm being sarcastic again, it's not a real person, but we've heard more about wage structure than we have about signing a third midfielder. But unfortunately, wage structure isn't a player and will not help us out next season. So there needs to be a decent third midfielder signing. Do I think we're signing Tchouaméni? Look, I haven't seen an update on Tchouaméni that's, you know, excited me for probably 2 months. I like the player. I really, really like the player. But every update, whether it's from Spain or England, is regurgitation of the story that was told up until the point he agreed a new contract. If Real Madrid decide they want to sell him and he's told he's leaving, then Man United would be a desirable destination. And that's never changed since March when we told you about it. What has changed is he's agreed a new deal with Real Madrid. Now, unless Real Madrid have ripped that deal up, or there is a release clause in that deal, then he will be staying at Real Madrid. So I find the Tchouaméni talk as time-wasting as Lewis Hall, because ultimately, to do those deals, United would have to drop a big load in Real Madrid's lap. And the only load they're likely to drop in Real Madrid's lap is a big shitting themselves turd. So, yeah, I think that hypothetically, Tchouaméni and Lewis Hall could sign for Man United, but both stories are very same. They're like a yo-yo. They just keep coming back, or a boomerang. But we always come back to the same problem. You've got to drop big money and big wages on both players. And we've said we don't want to do that. So to sign Tchouaméni, you'd probably have to give Real Madrid 80 million and then give him 250 to 300 grand a week, which we don't want to do. So, yeah, personally, I like the player. I don't think the story has changed for 4 months. And my irritant with Tchouaméni and Hall are that, are they not just spin? Are they not just distractions from the fact that they're very unlikely to happen and we're wasting time talking about them? That's my stance on them. I'm not blind to the fact that something remarkable, outstanding could happen in a window where we've seen remarkable, outstanding deals happen. I mean, Vinicius Jr. might be signing for bloody Arsenal. But in the real world, United have said they don't want to do those types of deals. So let's get on with it, you know. Just Me says, who's a journalist that we can trust and they're reliable in terms of transfer news? Look, who I think will be different to who you think. But when it comes to Manchester United, I think that Romano and Ornstein are always going to drop the news when it's here we go, whatever. They're always going to do that. But beyond that, I think you've got to make your own mind up, haven't you? I mean, look, we're in talks with Kone. That's about as good as it gets at the moment, I think. What else did I want to talk to you about this morning? Mazraoui, we've done. Scott, we've done. Diamande's not relevant to us. Do you think it matters who the manager is? If the problem is the ownership, nothing can change. Well, I think this is a great point. I've said it so many times. You've said it so many times. And we've been saying it for so many years. Is there a manager at Manchester United that can succeed? To which the answer is, in my opinion, no. However, do I think a Jurgen Klopp could do a better job than Michael Carrick? Yes. I think he'd get us playing better football. I think he'd be more aggressive. I think he'd be more demanding. So look, a better manager can get more out of the team. But can any manager in world football take United to a Premier League with this ownership? No. No. Manager pull's a factor as well, says guess who. So look, if you've got a great manager, they will get you playing better. They will get more out of the players. They will attract better players. But there will always be a ceiling at Man United, whether you've got Pep Guardiola or Sean Dyche. There will be a ceiling of impossibility. I don't think you can win a league title at Man United anymore, because even if you had, you know, the most complete manager in the world, who's a combination of Sir Alex, Pep, Mourinho, Ancelotti, you know, they've got all your clock. The fusion of the greatest manager in the world is at Man United, and he's 42 and he's going to be at the club for 30 years. I still don't think he wins titles, because, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson, Pep Guardiola, even Jurgen Klopp, brilliant coaches, but were given resources. They were, especially Pep and Sir Alex. They were given resources. At United, you don't get the resources. So how can you succeed? It doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter how good a manager you are. If you're sat there in the summer looking at Spurs taking two of your targets, looking at Real Madrid taking one of your winger targets, and you say to the board, these are players I want that you won't get me. How can you be successful? Pulling rabbits out of hats. There's only so many rabbits, and there's only one hat. So I think it's personally depressing, but I think it's impossible to win titles at Manchester United, no matter how good your manager is, because Pep Guardiola would be sat there as United manager this summer going, well, I wanted Anderson. I wanted Tonali. I wanted Fernandes. I wanted Bruno G. I wanted Tchouaméni. I wanted Scott. That's six players. My top six, you've not got me. Thank you for Tielemans and Santos, but these are not the players I wanted. I wanted a left back. Where is it? And I wanted to work with that left back in pre-season. Where are they? I wanted you to sell some of these players that aren't good enough. They're still here. They're training with me now. How can I succeed when you won't give me what you want, what I want, and you won't get rid of what I want to get rid of? And I suppose that's the simplistic way of saying, no matter how good your manager is, you're forcing them to work with shit they don't want anymore, and you won't give them replacements, so you won't succeed. And then you've got to build a squad. In the modern game, it's not just about your first 11, it's about your first 18. You need a squad as well, which costs money. I mean, you've literally got to be with... United won't pay over 200 grand a week for a first team player. You look at Arsenal's bench, they will have people, and Man City, and maybe even Liverpool, they will have people on 150 to 200 grand a week who are bench players. So it's not, we won't pay the money to build a first team, let alone a bench. And you do need bench players who are effectively first team players as well now. Only thing making Man United attractive since Sir Alex was Old Glories and good wages. Without that, we struggle to get top targets, which this window proves. Marlo, I personally think the fact that Matheus Fernandes worships Bruno Fernandes and will know that Man United's a bigger club than Spurs, and he still wouldn't come out and say he wanted Man United, says a lot. I know Cunha and Mbeumo did it last year, but I did say when that happened, how many more years are we going to get that? Cunha and Mbeumo wanted Man United because they grew up as Man United fans. 10 years ago, when they were... Well, no, Harold's... Mbeumo's 25 when he signed for us. So 15 years ago, we were winning league titles when he was 10. With every passing year, you're going to lose the 10-year-old who supported Man United. Because soon those 10... You know, if you're Elliot Anderson, when he was 13, United was shit 10 years ago. So every year that we fail, we move further and further away from kids who grew up as Man United fans when Rooney was here. These kids now remember Fellaini. They remember the shit era. So I think Matheus Fernandes was quite a big one where I think the club thought he was going to say he only wants Man United. And we had certain ITKs briefing that. And he didn't come out and say, And look, he worships Bruno Fernandes. He knows Man United are bigger than Spurs, but he didn't come out and say, I only want Man United. He didn't. He went, well, Spurs is a better financial package. So you're right, Marlo. I think we were playing on past glories, but I don't think it works anymore. How many players in their early 20s grew up supporting Man United now? There won't be that many, because when they were kids, we were shit. We're almost at that tipping point now. The board don't want to repeat the mistakes of the past, says Marlo, but no board has done more mistakes than this board. Too many mistakes to resolve, says Marlo. Blake Collar says, did we ever get an answer on who the secret third midfielder was? Hello from Australia. I think we did, Blake. I think it was, I think it ended up being Alex Scott. I don't think it was as exciting as we all thought it was. I think it was Alex Scott. My interpretation of the situation is that we've spoken to Kone. We know we can do that deal. But there's another midfielder that we're interested in. And I had hoped it was some secret midfielder that we were in advanced talks with. But actually, I think it's Scott. And we just can't do the deal. Gwilla Move says, welcome to the Members Club. Thanks for getting your badge in. Justin Brown says, after the Diamande signing at Real Madrid, is Tchouaméni more likely? I would like your thoughts. I think it could be a breakthrough. No, because a winger coming in probably means that Vinicius Jr. or the other Brazilian lad will be sold. They're talking about Endrick moving on as well. I think even if they sign Rodri, it doesn't mean they sell Tchouaméni. They're just chucking money at Mourinho, aren't they? They're backing the manager. Emily Derry says, by letting Mazraoui go, we leave ourselves short at fullback, but no worries. We have Yoro, who can play at right back. Dalot, who is a roadrunner, and a kid in the academy who did well in pre-season. Well, exactly, Emily, yeah. Sell to buy again, isn't it? If Mazraoui goes, it funds a left back. But does it strengthen the squad? Carrick the board. Done that one. Thank you very much. Joe says, if we sell Mazraoui and keep Mount and Xerxes, that will be my final straw. Writing was on the wall when Sir Jim said, once we're profitable, then we'll compete, says Joe. Well, we'll never be profitable. And Sinead said, wasn't Mazraoui linked to AC Milan and Xerxes linked to Juve? The fact that our players now go to Italian league speaks volumes. Yeah, well, you won't get a good price either, Sinead. That's the interesting thing. Regarding Diamande and PSG, they did not pull out because of the price. Real Madrid got Diamande to declare he only wanted Real Madrid. That is why PSG pulled out, says Lars. Yeah, and we can't compare ourselves to bloody PSG, can we? Twice back-to-back Champions League winners, and you've got some United fans saying, well, look at them, they won't overpay. Yeah, well, if I was double Champions League winners, I think I'd sometimes say, piss off, we're not paying that money. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers, can they? Well, apparently they can. Apparently they can. Beggars can be choosers. That's exactly what Man United are doing. Right. If Ineos are obsessed with best in class, then why do they insist on signing second rate? Trevor, that I'm very, very, very grateful to you, Trevor, actually. You've just exposed another lie, haven't you? How many times have we been lied to by Ineos in relation to their plans for Manchester United? I mean, you could write a book on it. There's so many statements that are actually lies, and best in class is right up there. When have we ever recruited best in class in the time that Ineos have been here? Is there any recruitment piece we've done that was best in class? Because Omar Berardo wasn't even a CEO, so he wasn't best in class. Jason Wilcox had 1 year as a director of football at Southampton, so he wasn't best in class. Dan Ashworth as director of football, we got rid of within 3 months. You could argue he was a decent one. I'm not convinced he was. Have we signed anybody best in class? Sesko was option D. I like these players, but they weren't best in class. Cunha and Mbeumo, both from Brentford and Wolves, so good signings, but you wouldn't describe them as best in class. Yoro was a kid. Agate was PSG. Xerxes, yeah, Bologna. I don't think we've actually done one thing that's best in class. So it's a lie, isn't it? We don't do best in class. We just don't do it. So don't say it. Don't say it if it's not true. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in. Today we have a 2 o'clock show, and I think we're live from somewhere today, so don't miss out on that. We have an 8 o'clock show, of course, with myself. Hopefully, we'll start to see some developments. It's the start of a new week. So hopefully United will start to do things. Let's wait and see. Take care, everyone. Great show this morning. Thank you, as always. Have a great day. I'll speak to you all in a bit. Take care.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big.